RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to Jayco.com. And by Campgrounds of America. To find out what's behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download the free KOA app today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about one of the most amazing parts of RV travel, carrying your kitchen with you on the road. For some of us, this is merely a convenience that we have grown attached to. For others with special dietary needs, this is the only thing that makes travel a viable option.
Addressing allergies or diet restrictions while traveling can be an overwhelming and daunting process, but we don't want anyone to be left out of the RV fun. So we invited Jerome and Jen Braga onto the show to pass along their advice for living an adventurous life as a family while still staying healthy.
You might think special dietary needs will keep you chained to your kitchen at home, but we know that even the most challenging food allergies can be managed with an RV kitchen. You are listening to episode 126, The Gift of the RV Kitchen.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, the gift of the RV kitchen, we have our news roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Progressive Insurance.
You can stay protected with emergency expense, which is automatically included with your RV comp and collision. Progressive will pay for temporary expenses, transportation, and towing if your RV is damaged more than 50 miles from your home. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today for more info.
All right, first item on the news roundup. Everybody needs to stay tuned for a complete wrap-up of the Florida RV show. We're going to do a special podcast wrapping up all of our favorites, giving you a real feel for that show, and that'll be coming next week on February 4th.
Yeah, and then also your next RV show fix from us will be at the end of February. We are going to be at the Atlantic City RV show from February 17th through 19th. Even if you can't join us there, you know to follow us along on our social channels, and we'll be showing you all the stuff that's there.
And we've created three dynamic seminars to give at the Atlantic City RV Show. We are fine-tuning them right now as we speak. We're going to do 12 reasons why RV vacations are better, which RV is right for me, and 10 amazing campgrounds in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And you can get that complete list in the Times at gsmedia.com.
All right. Now, over on Campgrounds of the Week, over the last couple of weeks, we've had a few really good episodes. Not that they're all not really good, but they're kind of thematically linked to what we feel like is going on in the RV world and RV travel. So the first one is we reviewed AmeriCamps, right? Now, this is a good one. We're traveling
right
down to Florida.
Of Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, and that I-95 corridor is such a big travel route for so many RVers, right? So many RVers go from New England down to Florida or from Florida up to New England. This is a really good stop. People say, where can I break up my ride? This is a good one.
It's one of the best stops. Mm-hmm. Clean, comfortable, and convenient. So
it's
to find out
more.
It's
kind of an insider tip, I feel like, right?
It's an insider tip. And then Richmond's kind of a cool place to visit, too. If you want to spend a couple of days there, you could. But if you just want to pull in, get some rest, and pull out, this is a great campground. So
right. Check
out our review on Campground of the Week.
If you like us, don't stay in Walmart parking lots anymore.
I would never say never. I would totally stay in a Walmart parking lot again, even though you've banned it. Right now, we also went back and reviewed a real classic for us, the Lincoln Woodstock KOA. It's one of our favorite KOAs. It's in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. And Stephanie, why did we love this particular KOA so much?
Well, this was just had everything that we really look for in that like destination camping that we do. Like the White Mountains is one of the most popular destinations in America, right? This is a quintessential vacation spot for families. And so when we go to these places, we want to park our camper. We want to go out all day long and explore the area. And then we also want an amazing campground to come home to where the kids can just swim and play and kick a ball.
This is a really great base camp for the White Mountains. It has all the things that make a KOA really fun for the kids.
Along with fantastic owners that had great customer service. So this was just a really pleasant place to stop at the end of the day.
There's some sweet outlaw cliff jumping nearby and some sweet outlaw kayaking nearby.
Yeah, that the owners will help you find.
Ask Darlene.
They'll do it. All right. Now, I also wanted to point you to an oldie but goodie. Since we're doing this episode on sort of RV out, like on traveling with allergies and with special dietary restrictions, I wanted to point back to episode number 32. We did camp food rules. And on that episode, I shared my 5 tips for feeding our live little campers on the road. Now, we do not have any allergies amongst our kids, but at the same time, I have always been a little bit like, I take food pretty seriously. Yeah. So when we started traveling a lot, that was hard for me because I felt like the eating out, the unhealthy food crept in the longer that we were on the road. And I sort of developed tricks for making sure that I was feeding my kids as well on the road as I did at home. And so that episode, I think, kind of gives those more basic tips.
And you're linking that to this episode, which is a really unique episode. I mean, Jen and Jerome Braga have a completely unique story. And it's really fascinating why they got into RVing and how it has helped them deal with some very severe allergies that their lovely daughter has.
Yeah. So, and I think I'm going to link to their whole backstory on the Go RVing blog. They wrote some really great blog posts that talk about their transition to just being, you know, a family of 4. He was a wedding photographer. They had 2 children. They wanted to go on a family vacation. And that became virtually an impossible task when their youngest daughter developed really severe food allergies.
So the RV became the answer.
Yeah, yeah. And they just, and this is about 3 years ago, they said, we'll get an RV. And they started out with a used one. Now they've had 3 RVs in 3 years.
And Stephanie said Jerome is a professional photographer.
Yeah.
So his photography, his RV photography, his campground photography is just really lovely.
Yeah. So, you know, when we follow them on Instagram, we read them over on the Go RVing blog. And the more that I see their, you know, material out there, their content out there, the more I think, you know what, they're really, there's a whole segment of the population that struggles with this. And I wanted any of our listeners that didn't know about them to be tuned in with them, right? So if you're out there and you need somebody to help you travel with special dietary restrictions, Jen and Jerome are your people.
I want to say this too. Even if this is not an issue for you, this is a compelling story.
Yeah,
it's a compelling narrative.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah, it really is. Now, I do also want to say there is no Facebook Live this week.
Stop the madness.
Because there's an airplane on the way home from Florida.
Yeah. And Facebook Live, we're not going to do it every week. We're going to do it when the kids are at school and we have a little time before we run and get them off the bus.
So I would have done the Facebook Live if we had been in the like airport or anything like that. I think that would have been fun. But we are actually in the plane in the air.
Nothing fun about airports.
Oh, the kids are going to have this is the kids' first time flying. The airport's going to be fun. I'm not a flyer. I don't love flying, but I'm going to tell you this. Every single time I have a new experience with my kids, I enjoy it and I am giving them a new experience and it's going to be awesome. We're going to have fun.
Do you know where I'd rather be though, as opposed to the airport?
Where?
I'd rather be camping at a KOA.
I know you would, but you know, we're going to get our kids on the plane. We're going to have them a trip like that. And then guess what? We're going to get them to a KOA. So speaking of KOAs, we're talking about food all this episode, right? And I wanted to give a shout out also to the Greater Outdoors blog. They have over at KOA.com, they have tons of food recipes over there. And when I say tons, I mean hundreds of food recipes on the Greater Outdoors blog.
It's a real focus of that blog. I mean, it's a general interest blog. It's got travel, it's got tech, it's got all kinds of great RV tips, but food is a central focus on the Greater Outdoors blog.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time sourcing great camping recipes, and you can plan your whole camping menu right from the blog. They actually have like the pull-down menus where you can do like campfire cooking or appetizers or grilling in different categories. So from steak to veggie foil dinners and grilled pizza and slow cooker ribs, they have recipes for no matter what your taste is.
How about donuts? How about 20 different s'mores recipes?
Didn't they just post that on a donuts
Nutella
on there?
Donuts.
Yeah, of course they do. I'm going to link to a couple of my favorite recipes over there on the blog in the show notes, like the bacon stuffed barbecue shrimp.
Yummy. So check bacon that out shrimp. At KOA.com. You just want to click on blog.
Up at the top.
And I'll take
right.
you to the Greater Outdoors blog.
We are going to be back in a minute to talk to the lovely Jen and Jerome Braga about their journey to freedom, which is really what it was for them, to family freedom. They felt trapped. They felt like they couldn't do what they wanted to do. And an RV really enabled them to just, you know, grab this moment in life and go for it. And they're having a fantastic time with their kids. So we're going to be back in a minute and we're going to chat with them. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to have Jerome and Jen Braga from R1Chance.com, and we're going to talk all about the gift of the RV kitchen and dealing with food allergies. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at the Thetford Corporation.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. Thetford's Norcold refrigerators are uniquely designed for the RVing experience and built to handle the tough demands of the road. They can automatically switch to propane if electricity isn't available, and they can be serviced at RV dealerships nationwide. Norcold refrigerators represent 50 years of design and manufacture on the road for RV use. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
All right, welcome to the show, Jen and Jerome. It's so great to have you here.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for having us on. This is awesome.
Absolutely. We're really excited that you agreed to come on and, you know, really just help guide so many of our listeners who may be nervous about, you know, traveling with any sort of specific food restrictions, special dietary needs. And I think even though you guys are going to talk a lot about food allergies, these tips and these tricks can expand to help anybody that has any sort of food-related concern. So I just feel like you're giving a great gift to our audience right now.
Or anybody who just wants to eat healthy on the road.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I think these tips are going to be applicable for a wide variety of people. So let's go back before the RV. Tell us a little bit about your lives before you started on this big adventure.
Well, the adventure, I don't know what, it's one of those things, what came first? Chicken or the egg, but I think we initially even got into RVing because of our daughter, Shayla. She's our youngest daughter, and she's the one is diagnosed with some severe food allergies. And we were searching after, how old is she?
Two and a half. And you had a couple big shoots in Cape Cod, and we were looking to make a little our first family vacation really out of this trip and spend a few extra nights there. However, we were struggling with finding a hotel with a kitchen in Cape Cod that wasn't terribly expensive. You know, you're in Cape Cod in the summer and the hotels are outrageous.
Yeah,
and so you're trying to find something affordable that will also have a small kitchen perhaps, and for us to be able to prepare Shayla's food ahead of time.
We were learning that we needed to actually rent a suite if that was the case, because we do need a kitchen because we do need to prepare all her food.
Now, is that sort of like a crushing or depressing feeling, realizing that vacations could get really expensive really fast because of the allergy issue?
Absolutely. Really was. And that was honestly the first time we ever really thought about taking a vacation with her, because I think we were finally comfortable with knowing what her needs were. And
that's when it hit us.
We were like,
exactly.
Holy smokes, we cannot go on a vacation at all with her. Because, and you know, another thing to consider too is with hotel rooms is any potential allergens in the room. You've got a carpet in there. People and kids touch everything in a hotel room, from light switches to remote controls. And, you know, us going into a hotel, I mean, I'd have to probably disinfect the entire thing before she even stepped foot
in
there.
And not from germs. It's like cleaning the remote to make sure there's no pizza residue on there, because the dairy would pretty much send her to the...
And you could be talking about hundreds of people.
Exactly.
Right, that have been through there, yeah. And hundreds of takeout dinners that people end up having in their hotels and everything like that. Now, for our audience that may not be familiar, when you're talking about your daughter's allergies, you're not talking about, she doesn't have one peanut allergy. She has a broad spectrum, right?
She does. She has what's considered the top eight, which is dairy, soy, wheat, peanuts, tree nuts, fish, eggs, and shellfish.
Her most severe is dairy,
followed by the egg,
and then peanut sneaks in around third. Now, she's definitely atypical. You know, kids with food allergies, if it's not an anaphylactic allergy to like peanut, she's in that spectrum of food allergies that will, within minutes, close her throat and get her to stop breathing, you know.
Right. So this is a life issue then for you. This is not like, oh, we need to be careful. This is, we need to change our life.
Right.
It's not I'm not going to eat gluten this week, or I'm going to do a diet of such and such next week, or, you know, there are legitimate gluten allergies, but, and she doesn't have that. She's more wheat in general, but, you know, her allergies to milk and egg are really what we kind of protect her from the most, because those are really the worst. Like going into a Starbucks for us, if we go to a Starbucks on the road just to use the bathroom, so the 3 to 4 minutes that you're inside, she'll start having an asthma attack. And it's from the
milk, right? Being
milk
the
in
milk
the air.
In the air. Yep. Being steamed.
In the air.
Yep.
That's doing something to her.
Right.
So that's atypical. Like, I don't think a lot of kids with allergies, are affected like that. So,
but she is, and that means that you guys had to become the experts. So that's why you're going to help people who may not even have to deal with that extreme, but you still have the answers that are going to help them anyway. So you tried to plan this trip. Did you end up going on the trip, or did you back out?
We did end up going, and literally, I think one day later, Jerome said, you know, for the price of this hotel, we actually booked the hotel because we're like, you know, it is a family vacation. You do tend to spend a little more on family vacations. Let's just do it. You know, and I think we ended up going one less day than we were going to. He goes, you know, for...
I think there were like $400 a night for the room. I mean, it was a lot. So, you know, we're like for...
I think it was actually more.
It was even more, yeah.
Cape Cod, yeah.
That's 800 a lot.
Yeah. In
it was in the summer.
That was
so.
Probably for like a soda.
Yeah.
I know. So we're like, you know, for $1,500 vacation, you know, we could have bought a used pop-up camper. You know, like I could have bought something off the web, and we could have had our own hotel, you know, in a pop-up camper. But we didn't know anything about it. And then Jen's face when I suggested that was hilarious. She was like, I am not going to be in a pop-up camper.
Now, so obviously Jen didn't have history there, but I mean, you thought this, like, did you have any camping history as a kid? I mean, why did your mind go to that as an option?
Not in an RV. It's just one of those things that you, you know, you just think you want to have, you see friends getting them. You're like, oh, that could be really cool. The only RV experience I've had was, there was about five guys that we were all friends with, and we used to go down to the NASCAR race in Delaware every June. We did that for about 6 years, but you know, we weren't RVing; we were just using it as a sleeping space. And you know, that's the only time I've ever seen that one could have potential to have a shower. And I was trying to tell Jen, I'm like, these things are awesome. You know, they have, you could even plug in your hair dryer and your flat iron if you wanted.
Okay, and so how did we go from you just like suggesting a pop-up and Jen's face being like, are you cuckoo,
what
to
you, talking about, Lewis?
You guys are now really in the RV game. So what happened?
You know what? It was the fact when he told me I'd have my own bathroom, I was like, okay, I can do this. You know, I actually did camp a lot as a kid. I was in Girl Scouts and I used to camp all the time in a tent. It just was never, I always enjoyed the camping when I was a kid, but as I got to an adult, I didn't enjoy the shared bathrooms, outhouses. Like, they're just not my thing. And I, you know, I was more tolerable as a kid, I guess, but in my adult days, I was like, yeah. No way. And, you know, so when he said, you know, you have your own bathroom, you have your own area, you're not using those shared bathrooms. I was like, okay, all right, I can do this. Like,
all the while understanding we had our own kitchen.
Anyway. Yeah,
definitely was part of it.
Yeah.
That was our first thing, but it was like, yeah, it's great. You have a kitchen, but then you still got to share, you know, share bathroom, share showers, whatever.
So what did you get first? Did you go to the pop-up or what did you get?
No, he ended up finding a used travel trailer.
Yeah. It was a 30 footer. I didn't know much about size and length. And I'm like, wow, 30 foot. That seems pretty big. It has beds in the back for the girls.
Yep.
And it was heavy cause it was a 2001, I think it was.
Yep.
And, StarCraft and, you know, well, I brought her to look at it. And I think we got it for about $4,000.
Yep.
And the truck was capable of towing it, which was most important. And I showed her, I'm like, you know, if we got this, we rip this carpet out, we do this, you know, clean it up. This is what we're looking at. And she was like, I like it. So we bought, and honestly, I think that transaction happened in about 10 days.
Yeah.
Well, $4,000 is about the cost of a vacation, really.
That's,
like,
exactly.
You were paying for one vacation, yep. And then you were going to be able to go again and again and again.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly how I sold it on her, too.
You know? See, Jerome, we know, us RVers.
I'm like, this is half the price of a Disney vacation.
Right. I'm like, well, this makes sense. This I can do.
No, but it definitely was how it was sold. And then, you know, and honestly, did we take it out that fall?
No, we took it to the Cape, like literally 3 days later.
Oh yeah, that's right. We canceled the hotel. Oh yeah. I'm losing track, man. That was a while ago. So we took it to the Cape and we had a
worked well.
Good experience.
Everything was great.
You know?
And then it was the fall. I don't think we camped the fall. I don't think we camped again until that next, I think, Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. So we did one trip and then worked on it, remodeled it a little bit.
Yep.
And then had it ready for the next spring.
Okay. So you told us that you sort of, you brought us from your journey to, from hotel room to the idea of a used RV. But now I happen to know that y'all went on this like 4 month epic RV trip because your bloggers were go RVing. Okay, so how did we get there from like, this is a good idea, let's do this for family vacations, to hey, like, let's practically live in this.
Right.
So one of our last trips in our used travel trailer was that end of that, basically our second year, but at the end of that real year that we had it, and we were in Maine and we saw a travel trailer. They had a few at the campground in Maine that were just brand new ones that you can go to the office, get a key, walk around. So I said, we should go check these out just for fun. We don't know anything about real, like, new campers, modern technology. We knew it was 2001. And so we got the key. We went into this one. It was a Sunset Trail by Crossroads. And we walked in this, and we both were looking at each other. We're like, what in the world is this?
This is amazing. I must have this.
A center island kitchen, Corian countertops. We're like, I didn't even know. Like, this is
a fireplace. Like, we had no clue.
Like, we were blown away that this, you know, and at this time we had gone on probably five camping trips with them.
Yep.
So we said, well, we'll go to the RV camping show for Connecticut in January and see if there's anything like that there. And honestly, we walked out with a camper that day.
Yep.
That exact same
one. The Sunset Trail.
The one that blew you away. It was love at first sight.
It really was. It really
and
was.
And we're like, this is no, there's no carpet. I mean, there's a little carpet, but minimal carpet. You know, it had leatherette sofas, I think.
Which were important to us because a lot of times at the campgrounds, you know, there's campfires and, you know, with anything fabric, the smoke is going to just reach right into the
allergens are in there, and not our own allergens because we would probably never put them in their camper, but buying somebody else's, we ended up replacing everything in that other camper before we sold it. So
I'm sure somebody appreciated that very much.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We sold it for We actually sold it for a profit. So after using it for a year and a half, so
worked out nicely.
We talk fantastic. About that on the show all the time.
We do.
If you buy that first one at a bargain price, yeah. The prices are pretty stable down there at that lower end, and we know people that have turned that profit too, right? I mean, it's a great way to buy the first one.
Yeah,
I think we've turned it for a profit even after remodeling it, like taking out expenses of what we put into
that thing.
We did so much to it; it was great. But we were trying to build it for something it really wasn't, and we found the new one, and we're like, wow, those payments could be like that, and this could be that. So we bought it, and leaving the dealership.
And especially because we knew that this was going to be our way to vacation,
right.
You know, and it was important to us to have something a little more brand new that was a little bit more stable, and we weren't going to be worrying about things breaking or if something...
Roof leaking.
Yeah. You know, we didn't want to deal with that. And we just said, you know what? This is going to be our best option because this is going to be our way of life.
For vacationing. Forever. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's until something might change with her allergies. It's not, you know, that. And I don't know that even if they change, I don't know if we would change her. I mean, this is great.
Then fast forward to our. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, in one of your Go RVing posts, you said that the allergies, you call them the gift. And I'm wondering if you could kind of explain that a little bit. I think you were kind of going in that direction anyway.
It is, you know, so the whole concept of having the new RV, that just was to us eye-opening. We're like, what a gift this is to be able to do this and to think like this. And now we're going places almost every few weeks. I mean, we're going somewhere, even if it's only for 3 days and if it's Tuesday through Wednesday or Tuesday to Thursday, because that's what time I could take off from work. It didn't matter. We were out so much, and we're like, this is just so amazing, and we're having so much fun, and we're learning to ride bikes, and we're just exploring and seeing so much in New England, and it was pretty amazing. But funny story is when we bought our RV, our Sunset Trail, the salesman on the way out the door is like, hey, guys, it was awesome. You know, congrats, and we'll see you in 5 years for your new one.
Yeah.
And we're like, and we're laughing. We're like, dude, you got to be crazy.
I'm like, I'm never getting rid of this thing. Like, I love it.
No way. This is everything we ever asked for. We traded that in 11 months.
See, everybody thinks that they're not a statistic, but you're a statistic, right?
We really are. We didn't even make it 1 year with that one.
The RV industry relies on you.
Yeah.
And they thank you.
Yes,
did you go to the Fiverr at that point?
That's when we did. Because honestly, at the end of that first year, we're like, you know, this is just – that's when we started talking about bigger things, like can we travel longer than just our weekend getaways.
So we were coming to the time where Shayla was going to enter preschool, and, that was really nerve-wracking for us to make the decision of whether or not to put her in. But at that time, she had not had any anaphylactic reactions. We knew of her allergies. We knew what she could have. We knew what she couldn't have. And we were pretty confident that, you know, after talking to the preschool, that we could protect her there. And, you know, I had several talks with the woman that was in charge, and we were literally had her signed up and we were ready to go. And it was maybe 2 weeks before school was about to start, and Shayla had her first anaphylactic reaction to one bite of a Tostito with lime chip that has sour cream in the chip.
Apparently has sour cream in it.
And she went into a full-blown anaphylactic reaction, and that to us was...
It was terrifying. It set us back, I think, months and months, if not years, of confidence in being able to handle her allergies, because now you're looking at it like, well, how does she sit across from another kid and not be tempted to just take a bite of somebody else's sour cream and chive potato chip?
She knows her allergies, and she could easily say, hey, is there dairy in that? And what other 4-year-old is going to be like, no, there's no dairy
in this. No, it's sour cream.
It's sour cream, you know?
You know, or something.
Just, you know, naive kids. And
they're not going to know.
They're not going to know. So I think that was a Friday that she had that anaphylactic reaction. I called on Monday and I was like, I'm sorry, she will not be attending school. You can fill her spot.
Yeah.
And we realized at that point we are going to need to homeschool Shayla. There's just no way... You know, I think that's when we really learned the severity of it. It was one bite of a chip.
Not even, the corner of the one chip. Like, it's crazy how little she had. And so the severity of it kind of snapped us into reality. And that's, I think, where we were like, listen, it's just going to be a new way of life. It has been our way of life up until that point. But it's really just made us realize that it's fragile. Life's fragile. So much around it is fleeting, and you don't know, there are no guarantees. And I don't know that we trust, you know, somebody in a school system to watch that one aspect of her until she's old enough to self-manage. It's just too terrifying.
And right and all this emotion sort of gets channeled into this great epic RV adventure, right?
It did. It kind of, and I don't know what came first was, so we did have Leighton, our older daughter, who does not have any food allergies. She was in school at the time. And you know, had a very good friend recently passed from breast cancer. She was 2 years older than I am, two young children. We had another friend who had just recently had a double lung transplant. And, you know, life is just so short. And as you get older, you just don't, you just really start realizing that. And
you have today.
You do.
Yeah. You have today. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You do. And that's all you have. And, you know, so.
That's where the conversation.
All of this just really just started spinning. So it was the allergies, the fact that I lost my best friend, a couple of our other friends going through, you know, serious health issues at our age.
And we're like, what is going on? One of our other photographer friends drowned. And you're like, oh, man. And it's all like the same year.
Yeah. Right? And you know, we just realized, you know what, I think we
became a lot more bold and daring and said, you know, let's just take off for like a couple weeks this winter and just to enjoy life a little bit with the kids and the camper and maybe even 3 weeks. And we're looking at our schedule. We're like, man, we can almost pull off a month if we really, really work at it. And then, but we'd have to take Leighton out of school for a week and extra on top of vacation. And then we're like, wait a minute, what if we homeschool Leighton too? And we homeschooled both girls, then it's only our work schedule, and our work schedule pretty much is non-existent between November and May, April.
Right, because wedding photography is very seasonal.
Right, very seasonal, especially in New England.
Yeah. Some people will brave for pretty snow shots, but not a lot, right?
And you know what else really helped?
It's true.
Me just be like, absolutely, we're doing this. That winter was, I don't think February got above 20 degrees in the entire month. And we had snow past our fence forever. And I was like, I am ready. Get me out of here.
So our 2 weeks turned into 3 weeks, turned into, hey, what if we homeschool? What if we do this? What if we take off like a whole month? What if we go 2 months? We could go probably like even down to Virginia. And now we're like, wait a minute, Virginia's still cold. All right, how about Georgia? You know, Georgia's warmer.
But anyway, still kind of cold.
And then then the story became, I think we should take like a couple months off and just go travel in our RV and in the travel trailer that we had. And then quickly, for some reason, I don't know what made us even.
We realized the travel trailer was not going to work because there was no place to set up a
The home office.
And we really wanted the girls to have their own space, being on the road for that long. And that's really what pushed us to start looking into the fifth wheels. We had looked at a couple of them. We looked at a toy hauler, our current fifth wheel.
Yep.
And this is all the origin of R1 Chance, right? Of this sort of thematic journey as well.
We're currently working on like a self-documentary about our the reason behind the name and all that stuff. And it really is that winter was our one chance. We figured we'd have one chance to do something epic like this as a life mission and take a bunch of months off. But we tried as much as we could to make it work. And we're like, we have one chance to do this. And actually we have one chance at life and life in general. And our friends proved to us that you only do have one chance at it and theirs is over. And we're like, wow, this is everything about it. Just, is kind of inspirational and motivational and drove us to pick the name. You know, the .com had to be available. pick the name and do, some blogging about it. And I don't know how Go RVing got connected with them. I forgot. I think I reached out to them at some point before our mission even started and shared some of our previous photos. And being a photographer, the photos must have been nice enough to have them be interested in saying, hey, share some more pictures with us. We'd love to share and go.
Don't be humble. Beautiful. Gorgeous photography. Mm-hmm. And you have two Instagram accounts everyone can follow, correct? Or at least two.
Yeah.
Tell us what they are while we're on that topic.
Yes. Our main Instagram for R1 Chance now is R1 Chance with the number one. So it's our number one chance. And then my personal is Jerome Braga, one word. And I have a wedding one too. It's Veils and Cufflinks. But primarily the R1 chance I'm driving to just keep it about food allergy and RVing and keeping that ecosystem the same for all those reasons. My personal got kind of muddy with a lot of everything we do, which is from gardening to RVing to shooting weddings and newborns and, you know, photographing newborns and everything in between.
So how did that, was the 4 months, was it everything you expected it to be? Did it work out with the food? What was it, better than you thought, worse than you thought? Tell us about that adventure in a general sense.
I think it was probably better.
It was better
than I thought.
Better than we thought, for sure. I just think it
so much
up.
So I literally could not wait until this year to be back out.
Well, that was our thing. We were going through it all, and honestly, we are compulsive workers. we don't know how to rest. We have reclining lounge chairs that never get taken out and used because we don't know how to use them and relax. So we were taking this journey, and we kept laughing to ourselves, and we're like, we're going to slow down and relax. We're going to relax. We're going to slow down and take it all in. And I don't think we once took out our chairs the entire trip.
It was really upsetting.
It was like we're either working or we're hiking or we're running or we're riding or we're biking or we're exploring. And next thing you know, our trip's over, and we're like, whoa.
We didn't relax at all.
We didn't see. We saw a ton. Don't get me wrong. But it was all a very aggressive timeline. It was way, way cooler than we ever thought. The people we met were amazing, and the relationships that we built on the road and through people, like meeting and bumping, you know, you guys even online, just getting to know people in the community, and it's been fantastic. But we also realized it went by way too fast, and we missed almost, we missed so much. We could also only travel between November and April. Our schedules just don't allow us to be there in a warmer climate. So the warmer seasons, I should say. So we can't do like everything above
Northern California,
whatever,
Oregon, Washington, you know, all the
Colorado.
Right. Okay. During that time of the year, they're not necessarily RV trip friendly.
Right. Especially, you know, where one of the reasons for leaving New England was to escape the cold. So going to a snowy location is not really going to work for us. You know, we're not packed for that. And
yeah, we deliberately didn't pack for that.
Right.
Make sure we don't go there.
Yeah.
Well, so your one chance is still going on. You're still taking every advantage of every chance you have because you're back on the road now this winter season. We know we're talking to you from all the way across the country, and you're probably enjoying some much warmer temperatures than we are here in the Northeast right now. So in the course of that time, you guys have, you know, learned a heck of a lot about an RV kitchen, what you need, and how to keep it allergen free, right?
Yes.
Did I say that right? Allergen free or allergen friendly? Yep. Okay. Like, I don't know if that's right.
Either one could work.
Okay. Friendly, all right.
Friendly is great for like the neighbors. Free is where we live.
Free is where you live. Okay. Exactly. All right. Good. I try to be allergen friendly when my boys have their friends over and everything.
Right.
You guys need to live allergen free. Got it.
Yep.
All right. So you've compiled for us 5 of your, you know, your best tips for navigating life on the road with allergies. And we are going to be back in a minute, and you guys are going to lead us through those tips. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our second segment with Jerome and Jen, and it's going to be 5 tips for navigating life on the road with allergies. And these are really great tips, and I think they're going to be applicable to lots of people out there. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
If you're RV shopping this winter, you can go big with Jayco's Whitehawk, one of the industry's leading ultralight travel trailers. The 2017 Whitehawk features impeccable attention to detail, industry-leading construction, convenient design, and Jayco's 2-year limited warranty that makes getting down to the fun fast and easy. Visit your local Jayco dealer or visit jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
And those Whitehawks tow like a dream.
Yeah. Bye, White Hawk. We'll try not to cry reading the White Hawk message.
All right, Jen and Jerome, let's get started here. And these tips are great, and I just really appreciate the level of detail you guys have here. So your first tip in terms of food is get what you can when you can. Could you guys elaborate a little bit on how that plays out for you in RV travel?
Yes. Sure. So, you know, coming from New England and where we live in Connecticut, there is a grocery store literally on every corner, and you can really find what you need. And, you know, we learned you can never make assumptions that you can buy the necessary food anywhere. I remember our first time in Texas, we were in Columbus, Texas, and I go to the local grocery store, and I literally could not find any of our safe, either oat milk or coconut milk, even potato chips. They all were cross-contaminated with milk and dairy. Sorry, that's the same thing. Milk and eggs, you know, because everything's kind of mass-produced and, you know, you run into the cross-contamination. And we do avoid any food that's cross-contaminated. And
Jen, that's the made-in-the-facility where...
Yes,
message on the bags. Okay.
Facility. Yes. Yep. And I avoid all those, especially if it says milk. I definitely avoid it. And I was just baffled that I literally could not find any food. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? I was really freaking out. You know, so
we weren't packed for that.
In a sense, are you spoiled coming from New England too? Because I mean, Stephanie and I are from New Jersey. We travel in New England all the time. It's got to be one of the best places in the country to
get really
those types
is.
Of things.
It really is.
Yeah, and it really was. And our diet's primarily just all clean food. If you think of it that way, it's pretty simple. It's just whole ingredients, meats and veggies. And we look to buy things like coconut, oat milk, organic cereals. If we can have anything packaged, it's probably something like that. Maybe just a corn flake, like simple. It's corn and it's a flake. There's nothing in it.
Nothing else.
It sounds so simple, but it's not. I get that.
Try finding that in Southern Alabama. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Allergy-free packaged snacks are just not available. Nobody is interested in that. It's a different culture. There's a different set of desires down there.
Yeah.
I think this advice can apply also to people who are just trying to eat healthy on the road, because we take these very long road trips, and I've learned, because this is what's happened before. We've been in a location where there was a good grocery store that I could have stocked up on right there. Maybe I stocked up there at the beginning of our stay. But, you know, on packing day, you don't really want to load up the fridge. You don't really want to go to the grocery store. You say, oh, we'll settle in at the next spot and then I'll go and get groceries. And then you get to the next spot and there is nothing to be had, you know, that you want, nowhere where you want to shop. So I've learned that lesson. And now I do follow this tip, even though we're not struggling with allergies on the road, I get what I can when I can. And that includes the, you know, side of the road produce stand.
So Jen, do you or both of you, I mean, are you just stocking a massive amount of food in that fifth wheel when you leave from Connecticut?
Well, we did this year. You know, over the summer, we have a garden at home, and you know, I jarred up a ton of tomatoes, and we made salsa, and I froze vegetables. And so we did bring a lot of that stuff.
We do have in our kitchen one of the biggest Norcold fridge freezer combo they make. You know, that's not a residential fridge, and that thing is packed to the top of the freezer.
So much so, I literally cannot close the door. It is a struggle to get that door closed every day.
Well, we thought that Norcold message would be good for this episode, and apparently it is.
it really is, because honestly, I can't. I wish it was bigger.
Yes.
You know, but I'm glad it's as big as it is, and it was significant. It's double what our travel trailer was, which I know sold us on the idea. And then we have two of those big black storage container bins that you buy at like the hardware store, the big ones with the yellow lids on them. Everybody has them. And those are packed with our dry goods. And dry goods are everything from
snacks, cereals,
coconut oils.
Yep.
Actually, that's another coconut oil. Try finding that like somewhere.
Yeah, and around us, that's a Trader Joe's run. Like, no big deal.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you can find that anywhere. Exactly. You know. You know. So just stocking up on the dry goods when you can. I think so. Our last trip, we were in Columbus, and then we stayed
Columbus, Texas. Yeah.
Yep, and then we stayed maybe an hour and 20 minutes outside of Antonio, and I literally drove an hour and 20 minutes, and I went to probably three different grocery stores, and I bought so much food just so that we could stock up because I was so terrified of running into that again.
And that can derail the adventure to some degree too, because I mean, you guys are out on the road to have fun. It's not just about having the kitchen. You want to have a big adventure.
But the stress started creeping in, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Now,
and I just really wasn't expecting it.
No.
Okay, now number two, you said, and I think that this is, again, it's funny. It's another stress buster. Like, it's like you're pinpointing those points of stress as parents with, you know, a special diet that you need to attend to. So you said for number two, keep the next meal prepped ahead of times at all times when travel is in the future. You want to elaborate on that?
Yep. So, you know, driving anywhere, traffic can just come and hit you out of nowhere and really throw your travel day timeline completely off. And for us, you know, for most people, they probably could just stop at a rest area and grab something quick to eat or stop at a restaurant and grab a quick meal. For
which
us,
which we've done many times. Yeah,
sure,
exactly.
Sure.
And in our prior lifetime before kids, we used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, that is not even an option at all. Shayla has never eaten in a restaurant. I take that back. She ate in a restaurant two times and it was at Disney, and it's the only time she ever has eaten in a restaurant. But she would never be able to eat in a regular restaurant. So for us, that's not an option. So thankfully, towing the RV is, it makes it a little bit easier because you could just pull over in any rest area, pop out one of your slide outs, and you know, you've got the propane oven so you can, or
cooktop,
so you can whip something up really quick. However, sometimes that will delay your trip a little more. So I always make sure that I have one meal ahead of time prepared for the four of us so that it is just quick and easy and you're never struggling to find food.
We had an instance in New Mexico last year where one of our leaf springs broke and we're at the Flying J truck stop, and
in the middle of
this place in New Mexico, and I was like, wow, there is not a soul around. Like, we were getting gas just to be safe because I haven't seen anything in a long time on the road, and sure enough, we look at the RV and it's crooked, and I'm like, what is going on? And then we're like, turns out that this is going to be the next place that I can possibly get a leaf spring is 2.5 hours away one way, and we were lucky that they had it, and we went and got it and came back, and here we are 6 hours later. I have to put this on still. I mean, if we hadn't had a meal planned, I don't even know. Like,
right.
I mean, I'm sure you pretty much set up camp in the Flying J for a little while and just start from scratch. But luckily we had what we needed. Because,
well, you know, what you're saying right now, though, just shows what a gift RV travel has been to your family. Because think about a delay at the airport. Like, you would not even be able to have the resources that you would need to eat in the way that you needed to eat if it was a delay at the airport. You're not even allowed to bring things through security.
Right.
Well,
she would probably
eat
43 bags of potato chips in the airport because that's literally probably all she could eat.
Five bananas and some Lay's potato chips, I guess. I don't know.
She'd be on rations.
And I'm glad you brought that up because that's actually the one thing about flying that I had not considered was that.
Yeah.
Because we've been saying, you know, we've always said we can't fly with her. We just can't be stuck in a plane, in a tube, where somebody could be having peanuts, milk, anywhere, and there's no way to stop her, you know, from having a reaction. And then I'm like, wait a minute, a layover that could delay you for 8 hours is – there's no option.
Right.
Like, we can't leave to go to the grocery store. I don't even know what we would do.
Right.
Yeah, it's the layover, that are the delays. So number three, you said that you want people to spend time, money, and effort in food packaging solutions that work for you. What are those solutions?
So, you know, for us, obviously, we need to manage the food. You know, that's our primary goal of having the RV. What we found was that it's best to just invest and spend the time and money on stuff like our Yeti coolers or our Arctic coolers that we can keep stuff super cold for a long time. when we're day tripping or even during our travel times. We use our coolers pretty much every day. So we'll use them oftentimes for lunch. I mean, if we're not just sitting in the RV all day, if I'm not working or we're doing school or something, we're out and about, and we need to bring food with us. And we realize the durability off of something like that. You know, some of our Yetis and the containers that we have that the cold items in will stay cold for like 4 days. It's kind of ridiculous how awesome that is. And it takes our fridge and extends it really for us.
You know, we have clean canteen water bottles to take water with us everywhere. You know, we have installed a whole RV water filtration system. Yep. And, you know, we're just, I drink a ton of water, so I'm bringing water with us everywhere we go.
I think our first trip, we kept carrying so many water bottles, plastic ones, and we're just against plastic water bottles in general.
Right.
But so I realized how much we were going through, and I'm like, I need to just put in a whole RV system. This is crazy. And even with a tap on the sink with, like, you know, a stage 4 filter in it that just makes pure water out of wherever we are in the country.
Right. So for tip number 4, now this gets a little radical. Let's go inside the RV kitchen, because you guys have done some serious modifications.
Yeah. We found this RV that we currently have, and we loved it because the kitchen was huge, we thought. You know, we thought massive fridge, loved all the space in the cupboards for storage of food, and some decent countertop island space. But after the 4 months on the road, we're like, I don't know, man, this is just, I wish there was this more countertop. And I had this idea. I knew it would be a massive project, but I'm like, you know, let's just rip it out. I don't even know. Even though our RV is a year old, we ripped out the four foot island.
Were you nervous? I mean, was that like a little nerve wracking? Like, I'm tearing apart my baby?
I think I was probably more
nervous. Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me?
I'm smiling. Like, I'm like, I could take down walls. We could reconfigure this whole thing.
I'm like, the slide outs still have to come in. You have to make sure you measure. Like, I know that he can do it, but I was like freaking out.
But we took out, we sacrificed our electric fireplace and the entertainment center, and we just put in a 9 foot long kitchen counter.
Now, it's, I'm like, going to have you guys send me a few pictures that I can put in the show notes of a couple of things that you mentioned. So if our listeners are going, what does this look like? Like your storage bins and this long kitchen. You're going to send those to me. I'll put them in the show
notes. And we saw the counter there. Mm-hmm. It looked great. I mean, it looked natural to me.
Right. I said they took the typical island that you're seeing so much in RVs, and they basically made it like the peninsula kind of effect, like the breakfast bar that so many of us have in our kitchens.
Yep. And we almost thought about, you know, raising up a section for the side for the breakfast bar part of it too, but
put in the stools.
Then we got to carry stools around. They're going to fall over when we're driving.
I think that's what we're saying. Like, I don't think you could do this in anything but a fifth wheel. I mean, I think that that's really the only way to go if you want to rip out your island and put in a longer one.
I'd probably agree. Yeah. I don't think it would have been possible. Well, it wouldn't have been possible with the travel trailer because the girls' beds were in the back.
I mean, you could have made it maybe a little bit.
A little bigger, but
counter space is becoming, you know, has always been an issue. I mean, I think it's an issue in everybody's house, anyway. But for us, essentially, you know, Jen's preparing, three meals a day for 4 people for everything we do,
right?
And it's all fresh foods, so that means you have everything is from scratch. You don't make there's no package that you're opening.
I don't open up a can of soup and throw it on the oven.
Right.
It just doesn't.
If you're gonna make soup
for us,
it requires 6 cutting boards, you know, 3 knives.
Jen's one of those, huh?
Like we're making this massive thing from scratch, you know, it's chicken broth that whatever.
Although being on the road, I do not make my own broth like I do at home. I do at least buy it.
I know, but we also brought a bunch up with us, but whatever.
Yeah, it sounds like you're the overachiever Jen.
Broth is important.
Broth is important.
Broth makes everything. But that kitchen island became it was the main focus of what I wanted to remodel, but you just can't swallow the concept of saying, this thing's a year old and I'm going to completely dismantle that. What was the selling feature that pretty much sold us?
Right. You know, and a lot of RVs are sold purely on how many people they sleep. You know, they're not selling them on counter space, because I think a lot of people, when they are camping, it's usually weekend trips and, you know, they're usually outside on the fire cooking. And
Jen, you're right. RV homes sell on kitchens, right? People remodel kitchens in order to sell their homes, but RVs do not sell on kitchens. In fact, the RV industry is convinced nobody uses their RV
kitchen.
But I
think it's changing a little with more people traveling full time. I mean, we've gone into some fifth wheels and some toy haulers, and it's obvious that they're going for the magnificent kitchen.
The residential kitchen
is the center of the RV.
All right. So number five, you want our listeners to feel confident that their RV is a safe space if they have an allergy child. Explain.
Well, I mean, the only things that can affect them are what you bring into the coach. So don't bring them in and you'll be fine. You know, so the only things that can really affect your child, like I remember planning our first our cross country trip last year. And I was just like, what happens if something happens to Shayla? Like, we don't even know where we are. Where's the nearest hospital? Like, what are we going to do? And Jen, she just calmly told me, she's like, well, what's going to happen to her? There's nothing in the RV that she's allergic to. And if it's anything, it's going to be a snake bite or something like what that any of us could get. And we'd all be in the same trouble. It's not because of you can control this ecosystem that you're living in quite easily. And you could take that ecosystem into a dangerous area and maybe, you know, camp overnight in a dairy farm and still be fine for us, you know, because you're bringing, maybe we won't do that, but
no,
let's not test that theory, guys. I mean,
but in theory, you know, in theory, you have this closed capsule that you can control. So really, I mean, it's almost the safest thing you could do.
Right.
You know,
and is it more controllable than your home, than your sticks and bricks home? I mean, is there more security in the RV than at home even?
Probably because you don't have outside people bringing in.
Right. It's
food.
A smaller space, probably less traffic, right? Nobody like walks into your RV like we do. We always have people over at the house.
Yes. Yep.
There's less dust. Yep. It is easier to keep clean and keep controlled.
And another thing we did do to our RV is we did rip out all the carpets in here. I don't know who ever thought it'd be a great idea to put a carpet in RVs. You know, a lot of these campgrounds are dirt and dust and
almost all of them are
and you're traipsing that into your home and
I remember
just sitting in the carpet.
Stephanie would not let me get a carpet in our toy hauler. It's as an option you can get a carpet that rolls out, you know,
and it's removable.
And I said no.
And you know, oftentimes Jeremy steamrolls me on these things. He just keeps pushing until I just go, whatever, get your carpet, I don't care. And about that carpet, I was like, No. And he kept looking at me like, is she going to bend on that? And I was like, nope, not going to bend. Now,
you said in the bedroom?
No, we don't have carpet anywhere in our
toy
hauler.
No
yeah,
carpet,
and we're really happy about that. Now, you also said that you bought a propane fire pit, right?
So I remember our first trip in our StarCraft, our 2001, our first camping trip, we ended up, Jen had to bring Shayla to the walk-in clinic because she was having a hard time breathing prior to her having any diagnosis with asthma. And we're like, what in the world is wrong? You know, like, and did they give her any inhaler?
They didn't because she had stopped wheezing by then. And it was the second trip in the camper that she was in the hospital. Yep.
So, and we learned at that point that campfire smoke, she can't breathe. And here you go, set up an awning.
Yep.
Outside, set up your fire underneath it similarly or somewhere close. The smoke blows it in. It works its way into the RV. Your kid sleeps through it all night. And the next day she can't breathe. And we were like, oh my gosh, you can't do campfires. This is crazy.
Right.
And so we were almost ready to ditch RVing because we're like, we can't do it. And honestly, the next day, of course, there's Amazon and we're Googling things and options. And we're like, look at this. We can do a propane fire pit. You know, we can still do s'mores with you know, safe cookies and dairy-free chocolate. But
but it's funny when you're on the road, like all winter long, there was not very many campfires.
That's because we never stopped. We were supposed to stop and relax. You told me you
forgot to relax. You forgot to get out the chairs and relax.
You promised me we could relax in a fire pit. We never did.
But I find like in New England when we're camping, there's campfires anywhere. So we do always request to be in the back of a campground. Or just really away from everybody else so that camp smoke is not getting into our camper, just being near people.
The fire pit was really pretty amazing because you could also light it instantly. You're relaxed and you're doing whatever you want to do over
right.
it.
Roasting, well, we have whatever. Listeners right now who are driving their cars or they're doing their dishes or whatever they do when they listen to our podcast. And I know they're like wanting to know all the details about so many of the different products that you mentioned in this episode. So what we're going to do is I'm going to reach out to you for links to the ones yeah. that you found and that you like. And we are going to put all of those in the show notes so that everybody can kind of see your setup and see what you've tried, you know, and you've really put yeah. through the test and used. And so I just want everybody to know that all of those resources we will put in our website. And then we're also, of course, going to link to your website, which is a wealth sure. of information for everybody out there that is dealing with this and that may be a little hesitant to be as adventurous as they would like to because of allergies or other dietary concerns. So,
yeah, and please remind us again where everyone can find you guys to find out more about your story on the yep. World Wide Web.
So www.r1chance.com with a number one, or you could do spell it out too. It will still get you there. On Facebook too, /r1chance, and I'm Jerome Braga. So you could just follow me through any of the channels with /Jerome Braga. You know, Facebook specifically, I think we're probably going to do pretty soon when we find a spot we'll be in for a little longer. We're going to do a Facebook Live tour of the RV and what we've done and have people mm-hmm. ask questions, and we'll like schedule it and have people chime in on asking questions about what we're doing, because I think it's more than I can do in photos. So I think that could be kind of neat
yep.
To see people's reactions or ask questions.
Absolutely. And really. We will join in and we'll and definitely look forward to that.
Let's not forget to check out R1Chance on Go RVing's
yep,
scenic route.
Yep, and the scenic route. And just the eye candy pictures. Just absolutely yeah. gorgeous images
thank
from you.
You,
Jerome. You do
might
a fantastic
have to get you
job.
Back again to talk about those.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. It's so funny because that's my forte. This is just what we're doing.
But this yeah. is your life. And that's what life, you know what, you deal with what it gives you. And when, you guys are doing it with such grace, and then you're helping other people also. There's nothing better than that. So thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. It's been lovely talking to you. And we look forward to talking to you again.
Well, we look forward to meeting you in person as well. So thank you.
As well.
Thank
That'll
you so
definitely
much.
Happen soon.
All right. So we'll see you at the campground.
Sounds great.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 126 of RVFTA, The Gift of the RV Kitchen. And thank you so much to Jerome and Jen Braga for just sharing their story with us. It was very inspiring. And thank you so much to Campgrounds of America, Jayco, and the Thetford Corporation for sponsoring great RV content.
And thank you also to Progressive Insurance. Adding an RV policy to another policy like home, auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save time and money. Get on the road to savings by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV to learn more.
And all you listeners, stay tuned. We're going to have a whole RVFTA episode on the Super Show.
Yep.
We're going to have some content on Disney and
Woo-hoo!
Fort Wilderness. We will be back on Facebook Live next week.
All right. The epic Tampa trip is over. We are back. We're ready to give you lots of great content. So tune in and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
See you at the campground.